Just a little Max Fun Drive note for everyone. Our next two episodes will drop on Friday, March 24th and Thursday, March 30th. We're going to make them available a little earlier than usual to celebrate the contributions of our Max Fun members and the road to Ice Cream Christmas. But until then, here's our regularly scheduled program.
Tides and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tides and Vibes Podcast. Tides and Vibes.
And this perfect day, nothing's getting in my way. And this perfect day.
Yeah, I don't know the lyrics to songs. That's why I make them up. You do this. You do this for 7 years. You do it. No, you. Oh, wait. You do it. I'm sorry. That was harsh. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Generation Hal Talent, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, the Jerichelk Appreciation Society, Lindsay Kelk.
The thing I like about that is he would hate it. Mm-hmm. So it makes me like it more. Because they'd be like, oh, does she love me? And I'd be like, no, she doesn't. And be like, oh, fuck her then. And I'd be like, well, fuck you. We're starting the episode with me having an imaginary argument with Chris Jericho. Welcome to Tights and Fights.
You should be starting these off. You try and come up with something to talk about after 7 years. You do it. We'll wait. By the way, Danielle's not here. She went under the knife this morning. I'm happy to report she had a successful surgery on her arm at a plate and three screws installed. So she forever has an advantage in wrestling matches once she's healed up. We, of course, wish the quickest of healing to her. And I have a feeling she'll be back too early and on pain medication, which will be your benefit and ours.
I mean, the fact that we know this because she texted us while she was waiting for her ride outside the hospital.
She's like, I'm in post-op. I'm like, what is going on here?
Suggests to me that she was well medicated, if nothing else. Mm-hmm. So thank you to the doctors and nurses that took care of our friend.
Danielle, while you're on pain medication, I just want to say... Yep. Lindsay, what did you enjoy from wrestling this week?
You know, I saw that in the beautiful script that Julian prepares for us every week and that we ignore, even though he puts in so much work, and every week at the end of the episode, I think, we are terrible people. Julian works so hard and we don't deserve him.
You try having your script ignored for 7 years. You try it. Go ahead, try it.
Look, you try ignoring it. It's not, that's not easy either.
Try ignoring
it's
it.
It's not easy either.
Try coming up with it off of the dome.
Oh, and as soon as I saw what did you enjoy from wrestling this week, all I could think of was the thing I didn't enjoy from wrestling this week, which is so not me. I'm really petty.
Don't think about elephants.
Right, don't think about elephants. And then I was like, no, that elephant that had the match with Shotzi, it made me so mad. It made me so mad. It made me more mad than anything made me happy. But I mean, to me, it really felt like a soft week. With regards to action, and it was fun watching it with Jeff. We watched SmackDown and Raw together this week. We were able to watch it together, and both shows he fell asleep, and both shows he woke up and said, what did I miss? And I was able to say, nothing, my love, because we're on the road to WrestleMania, and we can see it now. And because we're close enough in the car that we can see where we're going, we've had to start going quite slowly because traffic gets quite bad and we don't want to get into an accident. You're going to see a lot of recaps. You're going to see a lot of chat. And I think Raw was definitely guilty of that. Like a lot of recaps. It's filler and Charlotte being a piece of shit. But apart from that, I had a lovely week.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
We talked, was it last week?
Probably.
We talked about the Cody.
Yes, it was last week.
And Roman storyline. Yes. You were unhappy that it felt like it wasn't like... There's something off on Cody's end of it.
It started to feel a little one note for me, and I needed him.
Yeah, it felt one note.
A new flavor in my Cody Sunday.
What did the promo do for you?
I liked it.
Did it help?
And I liked that it came with a match.
I have waited my whole life. I will wait no more. On April 2nd, Roman Reigns, I pin you. I stick you in this ring and become the first Rhodes to ever say he is the undisputed WWE Universal Champion.
Because, like, I think instead of just getting a big bowl of vanilla ice cream, he actually brought it out with a couple of flavored sauces and maybe a sprinkle of nuts, which I appreciated. I do need him to never run into the ring in dress shoes again, or like in a suit. I need him to not to try to get that suit shirt off, that formal dress shirt off, when he's done the French cuffs, because he couldn't get his little shirt off. Anyone that enjoyed that as much as I did, we had a fun time when he was trying to get that black shirt off and it got stuck and he was trying to fight but with the shirt still on his arms.
His suit should be like those old like gold miner pajamas where the only hole is in the bottom.
Yes!
So they're impossible to get off and he just has to
never need to do he's done so many, but there's no strap match for Cody or no like one arm tie behind your back match. It's just Cody in a dress shirt match. Like that should be, if ever he has to be hindered in some way, that's what it would be. Cody in a dress shirt. He wears them all the time. You think he'd be practicing getting in and out. Get a Magic Mike suit. Come on. Talk to Cesaro.
I think the problem is he's wearing new shoes too often.
And yeah.
Anybody who has worn, I will not speak to anybody else's dress shoes, but I know for me, every time I got a new pair of men's dress shoes, the first thing you had to do, if they were nice and they had the smoother, like, kind of leather soles, is you have to scratch them up because you will slide anywhere, especially on the dance floor at your bar mitzvah when they're calling you up in front of everybody and saying, here's our bar mitzvah, Hal. And then you come out and do like a full, it looks like you're sliding into home to beat the tag.
Setting the tone for your whole adult life. Mm-hmm. I learned that from Friends. That's where I learned about having slippery dress shoes when Chandler couldn't dance.
Yes.
And that's how we learned Joey had such small feet. I mean, that was a great episode. but yeah, Cody, I know Cody's a big fan of like spend it now, make more later, but you have enough shoes, Cody. Or go to a cobbler that will put rubber soles on the bottom. That's what I do with my fancy shoes. I take them to a nice man down the road and he puts rubber bottoms on them.
Don't you want to be like The Rock though, with him doing when he does the people's elbow and he slid like across the floor to do to
no because I don't
time.
Have time to be injured. So no. And if Cody does need a heads up, I do know the man that does the shoes in LA, he does have red rubber bottoms for the Louboutins, so that he can do that too in case Miz or Cody are like, I don't want to put rubber bottoms on my red soles. He does have those ones, so it's all right. But I liked it. In answer to your original question, I thought it was good. I think it did just level it up, but it shifted it a little bit. Shifted it just enough to be like, no, I am fucking mad. I'm not just like sad that you're talking about my dad. I'm pissed off.
And it established his stakes a lot better than the way he'd responded previously.
Yeah, and it's like last time it was that the cadence was the same again. You know, it's that same cadence where he comes in and talks like this and I have to feel like this and if that's how it's going to be. And I felt there was a little shift in that this week. And I did like that it came with a side of match because LA Knight forever, just have him wrestle everyone. For me,
yeah,
I mean, there was no even need for that match. There was no build to it. There was nothing, but they still made it fucking great.
I'll tell you, they keep putting him in these matches where he like he's the guy who he's like the Chad Gable of SmackDown, because Gable's on Raw.
I mean, everyone's everywhere all at once.
Everyone's everywhere all at once.
Trademark copyright.
But he's that guy where like you put him in matches where he's going to lose because he's warming someone up, but. He doesn't, it's not a squash match.
No, he looks great.
Great in it. It feels like he's like sitting in the warmer, like at a fast food restaurant. He's sitting in a warmer, ready to be cooked up and served.
Yeah.
Like there's just no denying that he's got talent. He fits really well into the IC title scene. I think if you have a guy like Sheamus, he would be like a great heel champion. He's not ready yet, not in terms of he can't carry a match or character-wise, but I think they need to build him up just a little bit.
Yeah.
They need to establish him as someone that wins, like let him win a feud and then let him move on from there.
I think he would be a really fun heel champion that cheats to win but refuses to admit he's cheating to win. You know, I think he'd be one of those really like, no, I won because I'm amazing. But it's like, you won because you cheated. But not, you know, because I love a shit heel and I love a cheating heel. But what I love even more than that is a shit heel, cheating heel that is like, no, I'm fucking great. What are you talking about? Like, clean as a whistle. Like, what are you trying? I won that amazing. And it's like, oh, I love that. And he'd be so good at that.
I can't think of the last person they've brought in, because he's in his mid-30s, I think, early
yeah,
mid-30s.
Yeah, he is an older...
He's been wrestling for a while. Newbie. He used to do championship wrestling from Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He's been all over the place, but he's spectacular on the mic. So to bring a guy in, you know, like, The Rock became The Rock. He had to become The
How?
Rock.
Would you believe he's 40 years old?
There you go, 40 years
he
old.
He'll be 41 Even in better. November.
But the guy can go. He's just a star, and you want to, even from a corporate standpoint, you want to build him up because he's doing commercials for them.
Yeah.
Because he's probably the best guy on the roster to do a commercial. Better than The Miz, better than Drew McIntyre, certainly better than Charlotte in terms of a guy who can be on the camera and sell something. So it is to your benefit to establish him and establish him strongly, because at the age of 40... as good a shape as he's in, that is an age where injuries can occur yeah. more often.
Yeah.
We've seen it with Allen being on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Squeeze the juice out of the orange.
Yeah.
And then make potpourri with the rest so that everything always smells good.
Let me juice for you.
That guy could be there. Like, yeah, yeah, let me juice for you. L.A. night. Like, he's just, everything about him,
yeah.
he just presents himself as a star. And Triple H, one of the best decisions he made coming in was saying, this maximum male model, the Max yes. Dupree thing is dumb.
Max Dupree
He's already a star.
Yeah.
And now we finally get the word he's doing it again. Here's something that I love this week, is learning that Pete Dunne is going to get his name back.
Oh,
and that
my
that is
God.
Something that has been on Triple H's punch list.
Yeah.
Because he's such a good character on his own. The Butch thing made, you know, Vince always had this thing of everybody's got to have a name change. And there is, to a certain extent, you can't bring in something... Yep. You do want a little bit of freshness, but going from NXT to the main roster is not one of those things where you're like, oh, we got to establish the brand here. Like, no, they're coming in.
The idea is you've established them.
He's one of the last stars of NXT to come onto the main roster. Let yeah. him be Pete Dunne. It could have been Pete Dunne and the Brawling Brutes. Wouldn't have been a problem.
Thrilled for him, mostly for me. Mostly thrilled for me. I've been waiting for this.
Can I tell you what I would have loved? And I don't think he can do this anymore. I think he would have been a great enforcer for LA Knight.
Yeah.
And then LA Knight abuses him to the point where he turns face and beats the hell out of him.
Yeah, and they're not going to do that. But they would have a great program together. They would have a really good program together, I think. Because LA Knight can give you a good fight. And Pete mm-hmm. Dunne is the greatest fighter that they have. So I'm pumped for it. And then maybe Ridge could just go and have a little quiet sit down. And not injure anyone. And maybe learn some more wrestling. I don't know. These are spitballing ideas. Spitballing ideas.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned injuring people, and I immediately thought of Seth Rollins almost ending Sting's career and life.
Yeah.
Which happens. Accidents can happen in the ring, can happen to anybody. Everybody.
Who among us hasn't killed somebody?
Who among us? I almost said it myself, like, well, hell, who amongst us hasn't? And then I was like, wait, someone's going to Google something, and I'm gonna find out.
It made me think of Seth Rollins, which made me think of the last time we saw Seth Rollins on TV, he was getting knocked out by Logan Paul. And then he shows up on Raw and he's back to the, yeah, Logan Paul. Like, yeah. It didn't work for me.
No.
I get the segment was to set up a match with Baron Corbin to show Seth Rollins is good at wrestling, which we don't need to see at this point.
No, like, I've heard that said. Like, I've seen it and I've heard it.
Yeah. I don't like that short memory of, like, he should be pissed off about that. He got embarrassed. Yeah. The character got embarrassed on television. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to come and, even if you're trying to just shrug it off, I didn't get that.
No, agreed. I think we found a shortcoming in that character here. Mm-hmm. We found a flaw in the Joker character because he should be pissed off. He should be mad. He yes. got sucker punched. Like, you've been suckered by him now multiple times. Like, you should be mad about this. Like, even if you're not going to be like, you're not a real wrestler, you don't belong here. Like, I can see an argument against using that because it's been done. You know, he's had that leveled him already. And also we've established he's better than most people that work there. But he should be really mad. He should be super pissed off, or at least lightly pissed off this week, super pissed off next. I'm not okay with him just being like, ha, 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 he punched me in the face, twirled my mustache. Come on, Muttley, let's go get Penelope pit stop. I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's bad character work. Speaking of character work.
Yes.
Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
With an unspecified injury.
I was going to say he goes here, but like, does he?
He's injured. I don't know if you could hear the air quotes. Unspecified injury.
Yeah.
Maybe that made it sound a little better. We don't know. I mean, I'm sure There's got to be something to it. I don't know. I don't work at the company. All I know is he's not going to be in WrestleMania, which means Lashley's without an opponent.
Is that confirmed that he's not going to be in Mania now? I have been out of the loop all day today.
I don't. It's weird to have both Raw and SmackDown go by without any mention.
No,
of the match
I know,
Lashley,
absolutely. The last time I looked at it, which is not necessarily, I mean, and obviously by the time this goes out, we record a couple of days previously, the official line, and by the official line, I mean fucking Meltzer. Meltzer was saying that he'd heard the match with Bobby Lashley was still on the cards and was still going ahead. They just didn't know entirely what they were doing. And Bray missed the MSG show too. He missed the house show that he was advertised for. My main and first feeling on it is it's just really fucking disrespectful to Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, he's had a very good run, and it's, you know, look, he's gonna get paid at WrestleMania one way or the other.
Yeah,
it's a weird entanglement, and then the other weird entanglement being Brock Lesnar and Omos, which is a very weird segment.
Yeah,
of Omos not being able to get Brock, like, the just physically, I watched just them trying to execute the spot of Brock being thrown over the top rope, and I was like, maybe the chemistry not so good. Yeah, don't want to watch a match with these two. Omos giving shades of giant Gonzalez. Furry shoulders and tights with muscles on them. I just can't get behind Omos. They have not.
No.
I won't say anything to his ability to wrestle one way or another. I don't know that we've really seen.
Yeah, I mean, I love Cowboy Brock. I want to see Cowboy Brock. Whatever gets him through the door, which means whatever pays his check. We know that's why he's there. So I'll watch him do whatever he's going to do. I could not be less interested in this match. He could have had a match against anyone else at WrestleMania, and I would have been into it more than this.
You know, though, it's been a while, Lindsay. Maybe you've forgotten. Let me remind you of what happens when Brock Lesnar's in a match and he's not so into it. It's not good. And it makes you wish he had just stayed on his ranch where he can be perfectly happy, make all the money he has made that I don't know that he could spend all of it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I imagine he's someone who's been somewhat smart with his money and like has
strikes
what he
needs. Strikes me as someone that doesn't, you know, I imagine he's not a profligate spender. Like, I think he's a frugal man.
Gets what he wants and that's it. He's got what
he
needs.
If he wants
needs.
A golden
happy,
shovel,
happily
he'll
married.
Buy a golden shovel. And if he doesn't, we won't. Loves I just love Cowboy Brock, and I love him on the mic, and I love his attitude, and the little happy look on his face. Every time Brock comes out, now and has been now for over a year since he moved into his folklore era, I just have really enjoyed his presence. Like, I am happy when he is on the screen. It makes me happy. It is a direct burst of serotonin when I see that grinning little red face and that silly little ponytail, and it makes me just so happy. And then he gets in the ring with Omos, I'm like, oh, I do wish he'd called him a big boy. That might have done it for me. If we'd gone back to, ooh, big boy, we could take some of the Keith Lee energy. I would have liked that. That would give me a new ringtone. I guess pick him up and throw him one time at WrestleMania and then collect your check on your way out. But, like, give me a heads up so I can go get a drink and use the bathrooms.
It's this weird thing where I look at it and I don't know the business. I don't know what they're planning down the road. I don't know what their plan is for WrestleMania. But Omos beating Brock Lesnar doesn't do that much for Omos.
No.
Not that beating Brock isn't a big deal, but it's just
But it like, doesn't help you.
I don't know where you take him from there.
Yeah.
And Brock beating Omos doesn't help Brock and doesn't help Omos. So
yeah, it doesn't do anything for anyone. I don't think Brock exists outside the universe, really. You know, unless Brock has the belt, I don't really feel like your program with him impacts your position on the roster. It's not like if Omos beats Brock, it's going to be like, well, he should be champion now. It's like, no, it was Brock. Your prize when you beat Cowboy Brock is you get to wear a cowboy hat for a year. It's like King of the Ring. If you win King of the Ring, you get a crown.
If you
beat Brock, you get to wear a cowboy hat. And that should be the rule. But it doesn't, you're right, it doesn't have any effect on his standing in the roster for me. And that to me is part of Omos's problem. He's such a throwback. He's not part of it. Like, he's not part of the universe. And I don't get it.
I don't know what you do with Omos. I would rather have seen,
nothing.
Personally, I'd rather see Bobby Lashley, Brock in a submission match.
Yeah.
That would have been a very good match. Because it felt like feels like unfinished business every time they fight.
Yeah, I would definitely rather see Brock and Bobby go again than this nonsense. Than this nonsense.
You can tell us about your thoughts on what you loved in wrestling this week, or things you have judgments about. That's okay, we're all friends here. Go to all the socials via the links in our show notes. When we come back, we're going to talk about WrestleMania going Hollywood again. That's up next on Tights and Fights. You try doing outros for 7 years.
Hey, you look good today. And you know what would make you look even better? A brand new t-shirt from Tights and Fights. That's right. Our new shirt inspired by WrestleMania Goes Hollywood is available now at maxfunstore.com. It comes in a variety of sizes and colors and is available as a tank top, t-shirt, or a tri-blend t-shirt. And the best part is, if you order soon, it'll be here in time for WrestleMania, or Ice Cream Christmas if you prefer. That's maxfunstore.com and just search for Tights and Fights.
And now, a live reading from Rachel's Poetry Corner.
Elephants Theremin's Clifton, Neopets Porstrips Jepson, Pine Smell Jellybeans Goligoles, Skittles Squirrels and the Mole, Celery Chopsticks Pumpernickel, A Case of You by Joni Mitchell, Lullabies Tie-Dye The More You Know, all of these things on our wonderful show.
All of these things and more wait for you on Wonderful every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Wilblin, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk.
This week, we're going to give one corner of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Anal bleeding.
Whoa!
Rhymes with shit.
Holy shit!
WWE Dynamite.
I love cake! I hate nuts!
And a hard-fought victory.
Live, pal.
What?
WrestleMania returning to Los Angeles means that a lot of people from around the world will be in and around Southern California for what may be the first time. We're going to give you a little mini-guide to getting around the city. Best places to visit and eat and more. I just have a food recommendation off the top. When I first moved, I lived in the South Bay for over 20 years. And in that time, I was introduced by my friend Matt Legman and his housemates to the Big Wok Mongolian Barbecue Restaurant. And I want you to take this address down, and I am not fucking with you. 926 North Sepulveda Boulevard, Manhattan Beach, California, 90266. You're familiar with Mongolian barbecue. It's where you go through, you fill the bowls with the proteins, the vegetables, the noodles, and then you add your sauces, you bring it, and they're cooked on these giant steel grills. The chefs work their way around. You give them a cash tip. This is all you can eat. They give you these steamed sesame buns at your table that you open up and put the food inside and eat it like a pocket. I have diabetes. Here's the trick. I'm going to tell you how to do it, and I swear to you, this will be one of the best meals you've ever had. Get two bowls. On the one bowl, you put your meats, okay? Smash them down, make room. That's what the other bowl's for, pressure. And then you put your vegetables in there too. Your spinach, broccoli, some carrots. You like onions? Put onions, whatever you want. Put your vegetables in there. The other one, that's where you put the noodles. And then you do your sauces. When you do your sauce, they have the sauce recipes. Do the sauce recipe for each bowl, the same sauce recipe. And you will have the meal of a lifetime. And you will thank me. You will seek me out, but you don't get my address. That's not how this works. I gave you that address. That's where you go.
You live right on top of the restaurant.
I live on top of the restaurant.
It's Hal's restaurant.
I pound my chest on top of it and I go, this is
He's just advertising his restaurant.
I get a pittance for every bowl sold. No, it really is a fantastic meal. If you go there sort of off hour, it's one of those places that has like a lunch time and then they close and they come back for dinner. It's fantastic. It's the best Mongolian barbecue I've ever had, and I've had a lot. If you like the other places, like in the mall and stuff, this will make those look like they're using dog shit for food. So that's my first recommendation. But Lindsay, you moved to the city all the way from first you go, if you're in your Indiana Jones line, yes. Goes UK,
yes,
to New York,
Doncaster, to Nottingham, to London,
to Nottingham,
to London, New York, to LA,
to New York, to LA,
yes.
What would you tell someone that when their first time in the city, what would you tell them to make their stay in the city a little easier?
I would say don't go to Manhattan Beach because it's too far.
No, it's worth it. No, it's worth it. It's worth it.
You're making a week out of it if you came here for WrestleMania.
Well, you're saying that, Julian, but it depends because I know a lot of people that aren't, and I know a lot of people that aren't renting cars.
Oh, you madman.
No, but you don't know. You don't know. If you aren't from LA, I have so many friends and I know so many people who have come to LA from the UK specifically who have only heard nightmares about driving in LA and they're too scared to drive in LA. And like, if you're a confident driver, it doesn't matter, but especially just getting out of the airport and getting into the city. Most people are going to be staying either in Hollywood or I would say downtown because people are looking at, and this is from people I've spoken to and just from people coming to visit LA that I know. So you're going to stay in Hollywood because that's what you've heard of and that's where the tourist stuff is. And when you go on Expedia or whatever, that's where it suggests to you. If you're coming for wrestling, you're probably also doing Raw and SmackDown, and that's downtown. If you are staying downtown, I would say don't rent a car, depending on how long you're here for and what else your plans are. If you are coming for wrestling and you are doing four nights of wrestling, you're doing Raw, SmackDown, WrestleMania, and like very little else, I wouldn't tell you to get a car if you're not from here because it's too stressful. Because you can just get from the airport to your hotel. It's dead easy to get around downtown in Ubers. Or like whatever your walking distance from your hotel to Crypto, and it's safe to do so. If you are not from here, you are not going to want to drive from downtown to fucking SoFi. It would be so stressful. And getting out at night with all those people, so stressful.
Yeah. If you're downtown, you're probably going to take the metro to like El Segundo or something.
Yeah, something
and,
like that.
And from there, what's great is you can go north to Inglewood, or you can just go south like a mile and you're at Big Walk, Mongolian Barbecue.
And then you can Uber and then your dreams come true.
All roads lead to Big Walk, Mongolian Barbecue.
Yeah, that's where we're having the tights and fights meet up. It isn't. Don't put ideas in anyone's head. It's too far from me.
926.
And Al has diabetes, so we're not doing that.
It's fine. I'm on Ozempic and Metformin.
And you'll be fine. Then you're fine.
I'll live.
I'm jealous. It all depends on where you're staying. That's the thing. I've had a lot of people messaging me. If you're staying in Hollywood, that's a different kettle of fish because you're so much further away. If you're planning to go to Disneyland, that's a whole different thing.
Don't do it.
No, that's a lot.
A lot of people I know, that's their thing they're going to do on their free day. And then I have to explain to them that, again, Disneyland is not in LA. It is far away, especially from
it is far.
From Hollywood. It's a decent distance from Hollywood.
And don't think I'll just stop. I'll just leave early in the morning. You can't leave early enough.
No, there's no such thing.
Honestly, like I would recommend just if you really want a theme park fix and you're around downtown, you could just go to Universal. I mean, at least that you can take a metro to Universal.
Although don't because I am going to Universal that week. And it's going to be busy and I want to be able to get into Super Nintendo. So
if
it's a couple of days after WrestleMania, don't go to Universal because I want it. I need it and I need to be able to get it. But yeah, if you're going to do a theme park, do Universal. It's so much closer, especially if you're in Hollywood. Like, Jesus, Universal is 10 minutes from you. 10 minutes from you.
Do you want some more food recommendations?
Always. I'm sat here looking at an orange. That's how sad my life is.
If you're in the SoFi Stadium area,
yes,
you are only 2.4 miles away from Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. That's at 621 West Manchester Boulevard in Inglewood. It is over to the west. It is classic. It is also, here's the beautiful part, is you are right across you are on the eastern side of the 405 on Manchester Boulevard. If you cross over to the western side, you are at Randy's Donuts, which you will probably recognize from Iron Man 2. It is the giant donut that Robert Downey Jr. is sitting on top of. They have a drive-thru if you're in a car. They have a walk-up if you're not. They're just regular glazed donut is... I don't know what they do. They've been making it the same way for decades. It is fantastic. Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles is a big deal. I first went to the one in Hollywood. So those are Englewood-specific places to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I could give one.
Go ahead.
If you're taking the metro around, let's say you're within the range of the Red Line, Purple Line, or whatever letters those are, you can take it to Westlake MacArthur Park Station. Do it during the day. Do not go to this place at night. I'm telling you right now to not go to Westlake MacArthur Park Station at night ever.
Correct.
But if you go during the afternoon, it will be fine. come out of the station, look to your left, you will see Langer's sandwiches there. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a little bit of a sticker shock there, but I promise you those sandwiches are things that, like, I think are well worth the price and well worth the trip. You're not going to be there every day, but they are worth a special little treat to just go. And if you look across the park at a building that looks like it has PlayStation or letters on it, X, triangle, circle, square, that's the Max Fun HQ building. So if you wave hi there, there's chances are there's one of us running around trying to make things happen for the Max Fun Drive. But that is where the magic happens.
Aww. Yes, it is great. Aww. Langer's has outstanding corned beef. Like, that's their pastrami. So pastrami good. Is their number so one. Good. That's what
they're famous. The world famous one.
If you're in Hollywood, there's actually, I think the food in Hollywood and the scene in Hollywood is really on the up. There's like a bunch of really mm-hmm. fun stuff. And again, same proviso as Julian, like, Hollywood is not always the safest place to be. It's any tourist area, you all know this already, you're not dummies. Just keep your wits about you, keep your purse on you, keep your wallet on your person. Do not put your wallet or your phone in your pocket because it won't be there when you're done. But there's so many fun things around there now. Like, a couple of people were like, I've heard of this restaurant, Mother Wolf. I'm like, you have heard of it. Beyonce goes there. But Beyonce goes there, so you won't. That's what I would say. I'm like, so I have been. People have asked me how to do it because, like, I went online and I couldn't get any reservations. Here's the trick with Mother Wolf. They only open their reservations up 7 days in advance, and they open them up at midnight LA time. If you are in the UK, you have one up on us, because if you can schedule a week before you want to go and you are on that reservation app at 8 a.m. UK time, the 8 hours ahead of us when we are, like, not staying up till midnight to reserve some fucking pasta, you can go to Mother Wolf. And it is lovely. And if you can get in, like, do. That is in Hollywood. And it's really nice. It's really fancy. It's good for the grandbabies. Mm-hmm. And of all the places in Hollywood, I would say Musso and Frank's and Mother Wolf. If I had yes. to pick two places and you're in that Hollywood area already, they would be my two top picks.
That's on my list. I want to talk a little bit more about Musso and Frank's. It's been around since 1919. It's been in continuous operation. There are staff there that you will swear were hired opening day that are still there working. It is probably most famously featured most recently in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It is where Leonardo DiCaprio goes to meet with Al Pacino's producer character. But it is an old, old, old school steakhouse. It's a cool bar to hang out in. And it's kind of a quintessential. If you live here, you have to go there at least once to eat a meal. And it's worth going if you have the time and you're in Hollywood. Plus, you can go to Hollywood Highland and check out all the Academy stuff there. But a better place to check out Academy stuff is the the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures, whatever the name of it is. It's on Museum Row on Wilshire Boulevard.
Yeah, it's next door to LACMA now. It's where the old road next to was, LACMA. Right? So it's LACMA, the Peterson, and now the Academy Museum.
Yes, Peterson's across the street. So you have three there. You have the Peterson Automotive, which has a ton of really cool cars.
It's got the Batmobile, people. Go see the Batmobile.
It's got a couple different Batmobiles. Then you have the Academy Museum is fantastic. It is, if you love movies, you have to go there. And the LACMA is really great. I'm more of a modern art guy, and I love their modern art wing. I always have a few more restaurant recommendations. I have three if you're near the Crypto.com arena. If you're there for Raw or SmackDown, if you show up early and you want lunch or you want dinner, if you're going to get breakfast, there is a restaurant called The Pantry that is walking distance. All of these places are generally in walking distance of LA Live. The original Pantry is located at 877 South Figueroa Street. And for a long time, not anymore, it continuously operated, by which I mean they never closed. They closed for 1 hour when they moved locations to get the equipment over. That is a true story. They've since the pandemic, they keep different hours, but there's always a line to go in. But it's quick. Once you get seated, they come over, take your order. They bring your food very quickly because they're about turnover. And you have to have cash. If you don't have cash, you're going to have to use the ATM and pay a fee. But it is an outstanding breakfast. I don't like coleslaw. Their coleslaw is to die for. That's one. Mm. Here's another one. I'm sorry. I have a lot of food recommendations.
It's all I want to talk about.
I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to be all over the place that they need to hear about these.
If you're going to be in the area, I want you to walk over to 1001 North Alameda Street, which is in Chinatown. It is the home of Philippe the Original. And LA doesn't have a lot of foods that they can lay claim to, but one that they do is the French dip sandwich, which is probably most similar to a wet Italian beef sandwich. They take the whole sandwich and just dip it in there. It's fantastic. There's usually a line that goes through it really quickly, and then you just sit in like sort of cafeteria style seating. Near there, because you're in Chinatown, there's great dim sum. One place I've been multiple times is CBS Seafood, which is 700 North Spring Street. It is like up the block. And if you've not had dim sum before, a proper dim sum is a really fun experience where you just see rolling carts of food that they bring over. You tell them what you want and then pay at the end. They just stamp a card for you. And also, like, you're going to want to get In-N-Out. And do it. Try a burger. Yeah.
Do it in Hollywood. If you're in Hollywood, you can get In-N-Out right
for
there.
For $5, you can't really go too wrong.
But do yourself a favor. Don't get the fries.
How's a fry denier?
They're not good.
It's not a denial, Julian. They're bullshit. They're floppy and shit.
I'm going to tell you to decide for yourself. Please do get them and decide for yourself. Because you will hear this take everywhere. And I will say that I think it is entirely overblown.
Listen, I love you more than Julian does, which is why I'm telling you to not order the fries.
Yeah. I've brought too many people out here who have been like, I'm so excited to eat In-N-Out. And then they get it and they're like, huh. And I'm like, no, I know, but it's good. The burger is good. But the problem is, Julian, it's not only that they fucking suck and you're wrong. It's that they're so overhyped. And people are coming in with such a high expectation of In-N-Out and fries that then when they get the fries and they're just so mediocre, they're like, oh.
I'll understand that, because if they hear like a $5 burger is coming in with the Legend of John Henry's hammer, I don't think that there is, regardless of how good the burger is, it is not going to live up to it of anything.
No.
But all I'm saying is come in not with the expectation that it is going to be the greatest burger that you've ever had, but come in with the expectation that it is generally only found here. And that is generally what makes it special, because you can only get it around here.
And it's just fun.
It is still fast food. Like, I don't think people, when they come in here, it's like, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be amazing.
No, you would be surprised. The legend of In-N-Out has traveled, and people think it's genuinely going to be life-changing. And then that is brilliant marketing.
Just come in expecting a decent fast food burger for $5. That's all you really need to do, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I gotta say, personally, I prefer Fat Burger, and really above both of them, I like the Habit. I think the Habit is a really good mid-ground. The burgers are good, and the fries are great.
I won't say no to the Habit.
I like a Shake Shack, but Shake Shack is in the UK now, too, so don't waste your time.
Shake Shack's everywhere.
Shake Shack is just so expensive. It used to only be here, and that used to be cool, but it is so pricey.
It was New York, and then it came here, and I was so pumped. And then I saw one in London, and now I'm like, well, it's all over for you bitches. So don't do Shake Shack. In-N-Out's fun. But you know what? There's just so many great places to eat in LA that are only in LA. Like, if you're on the East Side, I cannot recommend Guisado's enough. Get those Guisado's tacos, and they are so good. Tacos, like, I eat a lot of tacos. I live on the East Side. We have access to many tacos and taco trucks. I think it's hard if you're not from here and you don't have the time to sniff around and try a bunch of stuff, because a lot of places you go are going to have tacos on the menu and they're going to suck. So that's why I always say Guisado's.
I'll say one great taco place, actually. If you're around here, a great one to go to is King Tacos. That essentially, like, been known to have at least popularized it, possibly created what people expected from soft street tacos in this part of the country. So I would say, if you want one that's going to be pretty easy to find, because it is a chain, but it's not a massive chain, King's Tacos, you can't go wrong with it. It's really good.
Oh, here's one more. I don't know when you're going to find yourself in like the West Hollywood area. If you're feeling snacky, there is a place, and I will give you the address once again, 7312 Beverly Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90036. This restaurant is probably most famous for being the final dining place of Sharon Tate before she was killed by members of the Manson family. It is El Coyote. Now, here's the thing about El Coyote. But you don't go for the tacos or the burritos or anything else. You go to get chips and salsa, and you ask for the ranchero salsa, which is like this warm salsa. They'll bring it to you in a little dish. Get a nice drink there and have the chips and salsa. It's a nice kind of snacky place, and it still has the same sign that's had for a long time. There's something kind of old Hollywood about it, and it's also where everybody goes after their groundling shows. A bunch of groundlings and their families. You'll probably not see them that weekend.
If you could see a groundling show while you're here, whew, so much fun.
What else would you do if you have a couple of extra days outside of wrestling? What would you two do? What would your recommendation be?
Ooh, I would do a studio tour.
Sure.
Universal Studio Tour is great because it's an iconic tour. It's fun to go in the trams. Like, there's something that we all know about it. I think the superior studio tour is Warner Brothers because you actually get to walk around and see some of the sets. You sit on the couch from Friends afterwards.
Mm-hmm. You get to walk through Stars Hollow.
Yep.
Yes, you walk through
One
Stars
caveat
Hollow.
To that, though, I don't think it's great for kids. Don't bring your kids to the
fuck kids, Julian.
Don't bring your kids to the Hollywood tour.
Don't bring your kids to LA. We don't want them. Don't bring them to WrestleMania.
Hey, they got
to
cheer on Cody.
They're
going
to be in the way. Like, I'll cheer on Cody.
You're dismissing John Cena's contingent of fans.
I won't be his fan. Ooh, but like,
what would you do if you had kids? If you had kids with you, where would you take kids?
Universal, I think, is good for kids. There's an area that's like specifically for littler kids that I think is really good.
Go to the observatory. Go to the Griffith Park Observatory. That's a kind of a must see.
Go see some trains. Kids love trains for some fucking reason. go to the observatory.
I hope that the weather's going to be decent. We've had like a string of storms around here lately, but
it's
if the weather's
fine,
okay,
Julian, it's going to be fine.
I really hope so, because I'd really love for people to get to see at least a little bit of the beach. I mean, you're gonna be here, why not?
And I think if you are here for it and you have the time for it, I always recommend a Dodgers game.
Sure.
If you're not stadiumed out, I really love a Dodgers game. And if you're coming from another country, like obviously if you're coming from somewhere else in America and you're not a baseball fan, why would you care? If you do like baseball at all, I love Dodger Stadium. I just love being at Dodger Stadium. There's something really special about it to me as a sporting venue. All of my friends that love football will come over and be like, why are all of the fans just sat together? And it's like, we can. I could sit next to someone from the opposing team and it would be fine. And no one's going to, you know, say anything mean about their wife or their sexual proclivities. We're just all going to stand up together and sing a song and it's going to be great.
Good news is, if you are coming here that weekend, they are going to be home through April 4th.
Yes, you got a couple of days.
First and second.
You could get a bubble
head.
So you have
two games against the Diamondbacks, which is part of a four-game series. You're not going to come WrestleMania unless you're only going to one night. And then they play the Rockies. And the great thing is, if you don't like crowds, just go to the Dodgers game early and no one will be there. And then if you stay till the end, no one will be there.
Yeah, truly.
Because they will show up late and leave early.
At the beginning of the season, I beg to differ, there will be a lot of people there on the first game of the season. Yeah.
Basically, also shocked. Everything we're recommending and everything I'm suggesting is basically what I'm doing with my brother who's coming out for the week. Hal, I've already got some tickets to go to the Academy Museum. We already have tickets to go to Universal.
Great.
We already have a booking at Musso and Frank's. And we're considering a Dodgers game. Also, the week after Mania, I think it's the Wednesday, but one of the days after Mania is Lakers Clippers. So if you're feeling very rich...
That's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, I know. But those tickets are still very expensive. And again, it's one of those things where the Lakers do have a reputation outside the country where people are like, the Lakers, they're cool. I want to see them because they don't know.
So if you want to see a live murder, you can go watch the Lakers absolutely curb stomp the Clippers that night.
Also, if you're going to be in the area, some like just nice places to walk around. Olivera Street is a cool kind of vibe to check out, as is South Pasadena, like old town Pasadena, like checking out that area. It's a really fun area to sort of walk around, and a great place to tour while you're there is the Gamble House, which is a beautiful craftsman home that was owned by the Gamble family of Procter & Gamble. And you can tour the inside of it and see what it looks like. It's really cool, but most notably, it appears on film as the home of Doc Brown. That is his house in the 1950s, because it is huge. And you'll see it when you look at it, you'll go, oh my gosh, it's Doc Brown's house from 1950, before he had to move into the garage because he sold the land.
How could I forget? Based on the song that we opened up the show with, if you want to go to see Il Cielo, you can see the place where Elle Woods got rejected. And enjoys a nice plate of spaghetti. Great atmosphere. Brilliant atmosphere there.
By Warner Huntington III?
Yeah.
And on that note.
Too blonde?
Well, I'm hungry.
I'm absolutely starving. I'm so hungry. I've got half an orange in front of me and it's not going to be enough.
I made a pizza at lunch. We got a pizza peel finally, so we're able to properly get it under the stone. Anyway. If you want to share some thoughts about your LA nights and what everyone should enjoy while they're here, go ahead and plug your improv group. Visit us on any of our social network accounts via the links in our show notes. When we come back, we've got three things from wrestling that we want to share with you. That's coming up next on Tights and Tights.
2-0 no run. house and carry 3 beef and dairy all day.
Max Fun Drive. Hey, chef, we got another one.
Another Max Fun Drive.
People know it's the best time to support the shows they love. You tell them how Meetup Day is back?
Sure did. They wanted to know about the live streams, though.
Those are finishing up right now. We can even send one out on the first night, March 20th.
March 20th, chef!
I'll give them a heads up. They also wanted the limited time thank you gifts for new and upgrading members.
Yep, and we got some fresh episodes ready to go too.
Hot stuff coming.
All right, we got exciting live streams, meetup day, fresh episodes, limited time gifts. Oh, and BOCO.
Yeah, okay, let them know that Max Fun Drive 2023 will be ready on March 20th, and it'll only be 2 weeks.
2 weeks, chef!
Max Fun Drive starts on March 20th for just 2 weeks. No problem.
Order up!
Shoot, I forgot their water.
Dice and Bites Podcast. Dice and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Ludlum, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk
and
Julian Burrell.
You know what time it is.
Watch my
time to share the joy of wrestling with you. Hey, hey, you try saying the same thing for 7 years. You try it. Sometimes you want to switch it up. Now it's time to share the joy of wrestling with you. This is the three count.
Watch my three count.
1, 2, 3.
Get out of there.
That was sick.
Don't you dare edit out that pause. Lindsay, what do you want to put over?
Do you know, I nearly had to put over Corey Graves just being really good at his job lately.
No.
Because this week he really made me chuckle, and I thought he was really good. And it just really made me go, wow, since he's been untethered from Vince, he really has been putting in great work. And I fucking, like, I'm on record for detesting Graves. But he's been doing really good work, and I've been enjoying it. But unfortunately, he got bumped. And I was left with no choice, uh-oh, but to put over Maximum Male Models, Maxine Dupree, Mansoir, and Marseille. I don't want to say their names wrong. I would hate to misname them and their glittery fabulousness. But they were running a photo shoot with Otis this week, and it was fantastic. And all I've been able to talk about and explain to anyone, I've spent 2 weeks doing it now, is the scandal of it all. The Vanderpump drama. Michael Rapaport, I think, said it best when he's like, why could you just not have an affair with someone who isn't in the same TV show as you? And it would have saved us all a lot of problems. He's right. There's a lot of hot people in LA. They are just lazy. Like, look outside your immediate friend group, people. I tried to explain that Scandoval is wrestling and that Vanderpump Rules is wrestling. And Maxine Dupree did that for me by telling Chad Gable he was worse than Tom Sandoval, and Marseille and Mansoir agreeing with her. Beautiful.
You broke my camera!
You probably broke it with your ick! Your Sandoval-esque ick!
My what?
You don't know? Clearly you don't watch Vanderpump Rules. Tom Sandoval is a disgusting scab on the unpedicured feet of his Bambi-eyed mistress, and you are grosser than that. Come on, Otis. We have work to do.
Scandoval ick. I mean, Tom Sandoval ick with a Bambi-eyed B. Nothing's made me happier than that all week.
It's so nice to see them doing something with, like, do something with Maximum Male Models. Otis is the guy to do it. Julian, do you want to go next?
Sure. I think we all knew when WWE said we're gonna go bring WrestleMania back to LA. We were hoping that they would do what they did all those many years ago, where they decided to throw some wrestlers into some very famous movie moments and like kind of impressively ape them, where they were like down to the getting the exact same camera framing and shots with different characters, and not just like having them repeat the dialogue, but kind of tweaking it in such a way to make it kind of like match what was going on with the matches. Mm-hmm. And they did that this year with a few people. So I'm going to put up the one with Bianca Belair and Montez Ford, where they are the stars of the Titanic.
Step up. There you go. Okay. Ready? Open your eyes.
I'm flying. Tez.
You fly as hell. Wait a minute, you know what they say. Pick or it didn't happen. You ready? 3,
doomed.
It's a cute little series of punchlines where he actually ends with Montez dropping his phone right off the Titanic, which is great.
I felt that moment.
It reminds you when you were on the Titanic, Hal.
Oh my gosh, I'll never forget. I got drawn by Jack too, but they don't talk about it.
Rude. What a player. Push him off that rude. Door. Push him off.
I post on the hood of the car, like Whitesnake.
Oh, friends, please send that drawing in. Friends in the
no. Don't, your pencil will melt.
Draw Hal like one of his French girls, but on the hood of the car in a Whitesnake video. Please.
Please.
Wearing the heart of the ocean.
We ask for so little. I want to put over John Cena. I feel like I was lax in my duty for not putting this over the week before. His promo on Austin Theory was spectacular. I don't know how much it does for Austin Theory, but it does remind you why John Cena is one of the best in the business, and just to be in the ring with him is a big deal. Here's one moment that had people a-talking.
I would so much rather be bald than have them pipe in fake crowd noise for my matches because nobody cares. Dude, I can go buy some topic. You still suck.
I mean, get something a little bit more high-end than that, John.
No, he's not spending it. He spends all his money on moats and cigars. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin. You can follow me at Hal Lublin. And don't forget that Max Fun Drive is coming up. MaximumFun.org/join. It all kicks off on Monday. You're going to want to be there. Lindsay?
I would also like to put over Max Fun Drive. Please check it out. Fun gifts. And the warm, fuzzy feeling you get from supporting your faves for making the things that you love. Check out at Lindsay Kelk. That's where I am, talking about all my stuff. Yeah, if we weren't clear enough on our previous segment, if you're coming to LA, please download the Uber app because it will be your friend. There's so many places you're not going to want to walk and you're going to think you can, because when I first came here, I used to walk everywhere and I regret that today. So just get that app. Be ready to spend that money.
Big Wok Mongolian Barbecue. Our producer is Ain't No Punchin' When She's Gone, Julian Burrell. What would you like to plug, Julian?
And speaking of things you can do, maybe you're one of those crazy people that are going to spend a couple weeks out here in this part of the country. And if so, Thursday, March 23rd, Max Fun Drive Meetup Day is back. It's going to be so much fun. I'm going to be there, and it starts at 6 o'clock, and you can be at Waltz Bar, which is in Los Angeles. You can just look up Waltz Bar. It's 4680 Eagle Rock Boulevard in LA, California. You can hang out with me, hang out with some other Max Fun people that are more famous than me, and I'm sure that's what you'll actually want to go there for. But it's going to be a great, it's going to be a grand old time. So please come if you can. That's this Thursday, March 23rd at 6 o'clock.
All right. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Thank you to all the Max Fun members who keep this show going. Keep up with us all week long on all of our social media channels. You can find them in the show notes. That's also where you can find the official Tights and Fights and Ice Cream Christmas t-shirts. We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
They delivers a medical update. What a fucking...
This is bold. The doctor mentioned she undergo additional testing, perhaps with other medical professionals, including a clinical psychologist. Oh, fuck
Even
you.
Even just walking through that parking lot is dangerous.
Is she coming up? That's a weird way to bring her up, though.
You know what?
Yeah, she caught a bad case of the parking lots.
Yeah, always come into that building from the front door. Never go in the back. The loading area, truly. That's cursed.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.